When I first moved to the South End, I decided that since I lived in the Appalachia of the island, I should probably make moonshine and learn to play the banjo. The moonshine turned into beer making back when craft beers and brew pubs were just getting started. The banjo playing, well, I had a 5-string I traded a gun for, nothing special, but something to get me started. First year I was here, I found a nicer model in a secondhand store in Stanwoodopolis, cost me $200, which at the time was a small fortune. I was torturing my dog Gonzo with both of those banjos when I came across a very nice banjo up on consignment in a Mount Vernon music store, a Japanese knockoff of a Gibson Master Tone, the gold standard at the time for serious banjo whackers. They wanted $350. I drove to a music store that sold Master Tones for $1,500 and played some to see if the knockoff played and sounded as good. It did. My wife at the time told me if I bought the third banjo, she would divorce me. I emptied my change jar full of quarters and dimes, etc., and came up just shy of that $350. It seemed like a good trade at the time, and it still does. I have that banjo, and my ex has moved through an equal number of husbands as I did banjos. A buddy of mine who wanted to learn to play bluegrass a few years later asked me what kind of banjo he should buy, and I mentioned how a pre-war Gibson Master Tone was the iconic instrument, the holy grail of banjo, sought after by everyone from Earl Scruggs to Bela Fleck to Steve Martin. "You won't find one," I mentioned, "so aim your sights a little lower. My knockoff is a perfectly fine banjo." "Well, some people have more luck than me, I guess. 'Cause a month later, my buddy was chatting it up with his hairdresser about wanting to learn to play the banjo, and his hairdresser said her daddy used to play, and she thought maybe that banjo was up in her attic, and of course the next haircut, she's brought in a 1927 pre-war Gibson Master Tone in immaculate condition, and I thought maybe there is a God after all, but he probably is pissed at me for screwing up my first marriage, but okay." I was glad for and envious of my buddy's great good fortune. The 11th commandment, do not covet thy friend's banjo. Jump ahead with me 35+ years. My friend never learned to play that prize banjo, but he promised me he would leave it for me in his will. Fat good that would do me. We'd both be in the nursing home, lucky if we could play jaw harp. But a few weeks ago, he had a brush with death, still on IVs for sepsis from some weird infection, and no doubt slightly delirious, told me to go pick up that banjo now before he came back to his senses. Near-death experiences do that to people, I guess. Yesterday, I brought that 95-year-old banjo back to my Appalachian shack, strung it up, tuned it, and holy foggy mountain breakdown, Batman, the sound that banged off my 100-year-old house's walls was enough to knock pictures off and break stained glass windows. The thing was a cannon, a high decibel monster capable of untold mayhem in the hands of an untutored amateur. Luckily, I think I know what I'm doing. Paddle faster if you hear that banjo. That's my best advice. Thank you.